For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
We all know somebody who has passed away either from a heart failure or diabetes or, you know, has lost a limb or their life has been affected in terms of mobility because of either diabetes or obesity.
There's just a lot of processed food around, and we think that that's development, that we are becoming more civilized with eating food that's been introduced to us. We find that those are the foods that contribute a lot to this obesity problem that we have.
Obesity, diabetes, hypertension, these chronic conditions are continuing to remain at very high levels, and in fact, they are continuing to rise.
Have you lost someone you know or love to heart disease or diabetes? Do you grapple with these illnesses yourself or know people who do? Sadly, these illnesses have become all too common in the Pacific, and one of the reasons for that is our diet. We're eating too many processed foods and sugary drinks, and it's killing us. In fact, the biggest cause of death in the Pacific is diet-related chronic disease. These foods, along with a lack of regular exercise, have led to an obesity crisis in the Pacific. Tonga, Nauru, and American Samoa have the world's highest rates, with more than 70% of people in Tonga living with obesity. But talking about weight is complicated. People in the Pacific can be judged for being too thin as well as being overweight. So how do we have an honest conversation about weight loss? I'm Natasha Metten. Sisters, let's talk about the first steps to a healthier you. You probably already know that the keys to weight management are good nutrition and regular exercise. But it's not so simple when you're heavy or when processed imported foods are more accessible than local fresh food. Changing your lifestyle takes hard work and motivation. For Samoan Mele Mowala, that motivation came when she realized her weight was getting in the way of her love for outrigger paddling.
I noticed that it was very tight for me to get in the va'a. So part of that was inspiration for me to drop a few dress sizes in order to fit comfortably. But then it was also just a good reminder that I was missing out on a sport that I loved because I wasn't fit enough.
Were you also worried about your health?
I think, you know, a lot of us, when we get plump, and I use that term because I don't want to body shame anybody, big is beautiful too. I don't think we're thinking about it per se as bad health. It's only when you want to be slimmer or fitter that you start to realize how your health has deteriorated. So the initial thought was really just getting back to the sport that I love, but then realizing that it was going to be a bigger struggle because I was going to have to work really hard to get back there.
Where did you begin? What were your first steps to losing weight?
The one thing I realized is that when you're bigger, everything is harder. So I went to the gym, but I tried to keep it pretty simple. You know, I would do 5 minutes on the elliptical, 5 minutes doing weights, 5 minutes doing, you know, squats and core strengthening. Nothing too dramatic because I didn't want to leave the gym feeling worse about myself than when I started. Mm-hmm. Then I also started hiking up Mount Vaia. Mount Vaia is this beautiful trail here in Apia, Samoa, and it's surrounded by nature, and it just gives you a chance to exercise, but at the same time, be grateful for the beauty that we have here in Samoa.
And how much have you changed your lifestyle to lose weight?
Well, I go to the gym now at least 3 times a week, and I make an effort to go up Mount Vaia at least once a weekend. You know, sometimes life gets in the way, but that's really the goal. And I've made a conscious effort to pay attention to my diet. So, you know, I avoid the unnecessary treats and I've reduced my alcohol intake so that that way I could see results faster.
And did you speak to your doctor about it?
You know, the funny thing is that when I was plumper, my doctor had recommended weight loss, but we didn't really talk about how to do that. It was more about having the will to want to do it. And when I started my weight loss journey, that's when I reached out to my doctor, and she was just happy to see that I was making an effort and that I wasn't being, you know, extreme. I wasn't going to some sort of crazy diet where you only eat papaya leaves. Or, you know, like that I was, you know, cutting out all of the foods that you still need in order to build muscle and have memories and all that type of stuff. So that was, I think, the best thing, being able to tell her I wasn't going crazy. I was just trying to live a healthier life.
And do you find yourself eating more fresh foods or local foods rather than processed foods?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it means making a bit more effort, but we're really lucky here that there's a lot of organic growers and farmers who are growing beautiful foods. So it just means making the effort to go to the market a little bit more, which is always good because you have to walk around and it's social. You get to catch up on all the gossip. And more importantly, you get a chance to appreciate the seasons, because you know when it's avocado season or mango season and things like that, where with processed foods, everything is trapped in a little plastic bag. So it's not the same at all.
And you shared your progress on social media. What prompted you to do that?
I put up one post a while ago, just sort of to inspire myself and to hopefully have like a before and after kind of image. But I didn't realize that a lot of people were paying attention to what I was doing. After a while, I was doing the posts more for everybody else, because there were a lot of people who would message me on the side and say, hey, you know, I really appreciated your message, or it reminded me to go for a walk or go to the gym today. I hadn't intended to influence anybody else. It was more to keep myself accountable. But I'm glad it's inspired others to do the same thing.
It sounds like a positive outcome.
Yeah, it's been lovely. I mean, I've been so touched by all the messages that I get from people, you know, not only messages inspiring them to be fitter and healthier, but just sharing with me that, you know, it was tough for them. And so when I tell them that it's not easy, or, you know, don't be hard on yourself, I always ask everybody to please be kind to yourself, to make healthy choices, and to give love and laughter every chance you get. The whole point is, you want to be healthier so you can live longer, so you can share it with the people you care about.
You're right. You know, we can't pretend it's easy to do. What has been the hardest thing about losing weight?
I have to admit, I don't think it's been hard losing weight once I committed to it. I think the hardest thing was how difficult I was on myself. Or not difficult, how judgmental I was to myself. That's why I ask everybody to please be kind to themselves, because as I started losing weight, I started realizing how much I didn't like the person I had been before, and I kept judging her. And it's not fair, because it's me, it's myself, right? You have to be kind to yourself, and that's when you commit to making the effort to be healthier for yourself.
And what keeps you motivated in those difficult times?
I think it's partly the people who message me and say, hey, I didn't see you at the gym, or I'm missing your post. What did you do today? Those are the people who remind me that, you know, it's not just for me, I'm doing this. Every time you work out, every time I go on the mountain, I feel better physically. I feel better mentally. My head is clearer. I feel better emotionally. Like, it's a reward in itself. The goal isn't really the weight loss. The goal is being a kinder person to myself in the process. And that really is the result of that exercise.
And you live in Samoa. How does obesity impact the society there?
Well, you know, NCDs, or non-communicable diseases, are a big issue for us. So we have lots of issues with diabetes. We have lots of issues with obesity and people not being able to exercise. And of course, we have a lot of people who rely on processed foods because they're cheaper and easier to get. Weight loss is something that you really have to plug into your schedule. You know, you need to make it a priority.
You've mentioned NCDs. Have you seen people in the community die from NCDs like heart disease or complications with diabetes?
We all know somebody who has passed away either from a heart failure or from diabetes or, you know, has lost a limb or their life has been affected in terms of mobility because of either diabetes or obesity. It's common enough, especially because here also, as you get bigger, everybody else gets bigger around you. And so it's not always something where you stand out in the same way. Part and parcel of our culture is also to show love, affection, and respect through food. So many times, you know, the people who want to show you that respect and love do it through larger portions, not realizing that in some ways it's also contributing to potentially the health issues you may have.
How much weight have you lost?
I've lost now about 37 kilos. But, you know, it's been over a year, so it wasn't something dramatic. And that was really great because it meant that as I was losing the weight slowly, I was being able to appreciate the fact that it wasn't, you know, something dramatic, that this was something that was going to be a lifestyle change. And the best part has been all my wardrobe. I had all these clothes that I couldn't fit into that I can fit into again. So everybody thinks I've been shopping a lot, but I've really just been digging in my closet and pulling out my old dresses, my old ofu and things like that.
Oh, that's nice. How do you feel now?
I feel great. You know, I think one of the things you don't realize of weight loss, besides, you know, the fact that you emotionally, you feel better about yourself, you sleep better, you're fitter. So, you know, when somebody says, oh, we've got to walk up that hill, there isn't like that internal voice saying, oh no, we have to go up the hill. Instead, it means that you can skip up the steps if you have to. It's not that big of a deal. And I do a lot of other things like beekeeping and paddling. And, you know, when you're stronger, it means you can do things longer and do them better. So overall, it's been a wonderful experience.
Mele, not only do you fit in the Va'a now, you're racing one.
Tell me about it.
I have a women's team and we are aiming to race in the International Va'a Federation sprint races next year in Singapore. That gives us a goal. So, you know, the weight loss was for myself and getting fitter was for myself. But now we have an international competition in which will be the goal for next year. So now we can take it to the next level. And that's always great because then it's not just about me. It's really about being stronger and fitter for my team.
And before I let you go, what's your message to women or anyone who is thinking about losing weight in the Pacific?
Oh, stop thinking and start doing. Get out there. The first step may seem the hardest, but it will not be the last step. So please don't give up on yourself. Do it for your health, for your family, for your community, because when you're healthier and happier, it manifests in everyone else around you as well.
Inspiring words from Mele Mowala. I especially liked her advice to take it slowly. You are much more likely to succeed if you set yourself small, achievable goals when it comes to losing weight.
You're listening to Sisters, Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
As I mentioned already, Tonga has the world's highest rate of obesity. So what does that mean for the community and health services in the country? Dr. Anna Akaola is the Minister for Health in Tonga.
Obesity can bring a lot of problems to a person. We are trying to address our non-communicable diseases, and obesity is one of the key drivers of non-communicable diseases in Tonga. So if we can try and end obesity by having a proper nutritious meal in moderation, they will make us healthier. And the way to do that, I think, would be to go back to what our people used to eat before. They used to live off the land. Our forefathers would just plant their own taro or their own yam, take the leaves of the taro and prepare it in a way that the whole family can eat from. And if when they want protein, it's usually from fish or shellfish or whatever is available in the islands. But I think going back to our traditional diet would be something that we need to work more on. and taxing unhealthy food that's coming outside of Tonga, the processed food that can be tasty, but at the same time, it is not good for human consumption. So the key message is eat in moderation, our traditional Tongan food.
I've also read that women have higher rates of obesity than men. Why do you think that is the cause?
Probably inactivity, hormones. Of course, we have our genetic predisposition. We can't do anything about our genes, but we can do something about our inactivity. I think that's one of the things that's contributing. And of course, we prepare the food, and it might be because we consume a lot more than men as well.
You mentioned inactivity. What are the lifestyle factors contributing to obesity in Tonga?
It's the culture of feasting. Any gathering that we get, we try and do some catering. It's just part of our life. And I think that is one of the things that we need to look into, whether, you know, with every meeting or every gathering that we have, do we still need to eat? And also the inactivity. And of course, the other thing too is our perception of good health. When I was young, I was always urged to eat a lot more. Eat more. You know, you look unhealthy. Because I was a skinny child. I wished that I had known better at that time, because I always wanted to be chubby like some of the kids in the neighborhood. Now that I know better, every time I hear someone calling someone skinny, that they are light, and they usually call them as a piece of paper. I have a niece that's skinny, and the rest of the cousins call her names because of that. And I always pull her aside and tell the other cousin, this is what you should aspire to. Just to let the kids know that there's nothing wrong with being skinny. So it's body image perception.
Yeah. What are some examples of the commonly consumed foods that can cause obesity if not eaten in moderation?
There's just a lot of processed food around, and we think that that's development, that we are becoming more civilized with eating food that's been introduced to us. We find that those are the foods that contributes a lot to this obesity problem that we have in Tonga. Cakes, those are things that you don't eat, do you? The Chinese are bringing noodles, and the kids even eat it raw with just the flavor. We have introduced laws in the form of taxes for tobacco, for alcohol, for sweet beverages, and also some of the unhealthy foods. But I think the message, though, is go back to your traditional food, but eat in moderation.
Around the world now, there are medical treatments for obesity, like weight loss drugs.
We can't afford those. Yes, the Ozempic,
yes.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who's using it in Tonga. And if they are, I think there'd be just a few. I really do think we just need, the only thing we can afford is education. And it has to start with the young ones, with the primary school or even before then, and just teach them our food, what is healthy, what's not healthy, what should be avoided. And I think we should work harder as Health Institute is to educate the public and promote what is good. Recently, the government has bought fish from Fiji to sell in Tonga. It's just tuna at 10 paanga a kilo. The tuna had gone up to 25 paanga a kilo. Even I can't afford that. I can't afford to have fish all the time. But that is one of the food that we would want our people to have more of, fish. So I think it was a smart move by our government to bring in this cheaper fish so we can when we promote health, when we say eat more fish and less of meat, especially the meats that are being brought from overseas, like chicken, because you don't even know what hormones and chemicals that they had been feeding these chickens that's brought here to feed our people. We can't say that if it's 25 paanga a kilo, but if it's 10 paanga, I won't hesitate. I'll say, look, we have fish once or twice a week. And of course, we need to work more on a plant-based diet. We also need professionals to show us how to make plant-based food more delicious, especially for the young ones to take.
That's Tonga's Health Minister, Dr. Anna Akaola. One of the alarming trends when it comes to obesity is how it is impacting children in the Pacific. Dr. Courtney Choi, an epidemiologist from the Yale School of Public Health, spends her time between Samoa and Hawaii studying the prevalence and impacts of childhood obesity. Courtney is all too aware of the high levels of non-communicable diseases in Samoa related to obesity.
What we know today is that obesity, diabetes, hypertension, these chronic conditions are continuing to remain at very high levels. And in fact, they are continuing to rise over the past two decades. In fact, we're not only seeing it in adults, but we're seeing it emerge from as early as 2 to 5 years old, where we're seeing young ones at higher risk for overweight and obesity. And with that, there are more people being diagnosed with diabetes and other chronic conditions earlier. There are a number of factors that come into play. There is nutrition, there's physical activity, there's also access to certain types of foods that a person might have or the spaces they have access to. So the environment that they may feel safe to play in. And even going to school, nutrition is one of the biggest factors that come into play for children and determining the risk of overweight obesity and chronic diseases. But as they get older, it's not just nutrition. It's a combination of things in which they're doing on their day-to-day lives, but also the environment that they're growing up in today.
And what are the lifestyle and dietary factors contributing to obesity in Samoa?
We have seen consistently that children who are eating more local foods and produce, this means high intakes of taro, kalo, ulu, breadfruit, and lower intakes of the processed imported foods like noodles, they tend to have more trajectories in which we would anticipate them to be healthy. There's been other things that we've looked at between the ages of 2 and 9 years old. We've seen that in Samoa, many children are not meeting the standards for sleep recommendations. And we know that shorter sleep can impact physical activity, which is known to be related to weight status and how children are growing up and their risk of obesity and related chronic diseases.
And is it difficult to access those local foods for parents to feed their children?
So many mothers report to us really accurate nutritional and consumer knowledge of what is healthy foods. But what we're finding is that the majority of parents are not the primarily responsible person for the food given to their children, indicating that even though we may be working with mothers, we might need to also talk to other family members who are responsible for buying the foods and cooking at the end of the day. We need to be thinking about increasing engagement with other family members if we're to prevent obesity in the community.
In recent years, we've seen a surge in medical weight loss treatments with drugs like Ozempic. They're also used to manage diabetes. How available are they in Samoa?
They are available in Samoa, to my knowledge. But is it accessible to everyone? No. And right now, as a treatment for obesity, I have not seen it readily given to people that come into the hospital, mainly because it depends on who you're working with. Are you working with a child who's at risk of overweight and obesity? Or are you working with an adult who happens to also be affected by many different chronic diseases. And so I think that's a consideration to take into play. But from the prevention perspective, which I'm a strong advocate for and have the most experience in, when it comes to obesity prevention efforts, it's really important that it is a combination of diet, exercise, and intense counseling that comes with it.
Why don't you think medical weight loss is the solution to addressing this problem?
I think that there must be a combination of actions taken on part of the person. If we're just strictly thinking about obesity and the way that it's currently diagnosed or determined for like an individual, there are specific criteria. And so, for example, with children, the way we look at that is based on their weight and height for age and sex relative to a standard and reference that we have available to us. And so with that, weight can be impacted by so many different factors, whether it be nutrition, physical activity, certain your biology, genetics can come into play. Your social environment also can have an impact as well in the way that you behave, which would then in turn maybe impact the foods you decide to eat or how often you play or for how long you can sleep or how you're feeling about your day to get going and just do anything in your day-to-day life. Lifestyle itself, that's a very important part of the treatment plan too. Just because you get a prescription does not mean that there's not additional work to be done.
How does stigma play out in Samoa? Is it an issue that prevents people from seeking help?
I think stigma exists anywhere in the world. The way that I have seen stigma persist, if someone is larger, it could actually be an indication of social status and being able to afford certain foods that they can eat that are more expensive that can be found on island. Also, it could be a sign of nourishment. So someone who is large, especially if it's a large baby, it can be seen as healthy because that child is nourished and being fed enough in that way.
And how difficult does that make your job?
The conversations are difficult, especially as a public health practitioner in the prevention space where there are many people already affected by these chronic diseases and they have been living with obesity. They've been living with diabetes. They've been living with hypertension and they have people who they see on their day-to-day life that are able to function. They go to work, they come back, they take care of the family, they get up the next day and provide more for their family. You are already dealing with this environment in which it's seen as what is the normal, what is usual, what is common. And so when it comes to talking about lifestyle change, it can be quite difficult, especially when the knowledge is there. More and more, we are trying to engage people in awareness programs and just being there as constant reminder to say, we know that you know many things, and we've also been learning some things over the years. And so let us try to share this knowledge and do a bit better for ourselves and our families, because at the end of the day, these conditions are not going away anytime soon. So it's important that we work together as a community to ensure that we're trying to live as high quality of a life as possible.
That's epidemiologist Dr. Courtney Choi. Thanks to all of my guests today, Dr. Anna Akawala, Dr. Courtney Choi, and Mele Mowala. Perhaps hearing from them has you thinking about your own nutrition and lifestyle and maybe making a change to be healthier. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Metten. Our supervising producer is Kim Lester. Our executive producer is Fale Angafulu Inga Stunzna. Sisters Let's Talk is an ABC Radio Australia production. We acknowledge the Yagara, Turrbal and Darumbal peoples on whose land this program is produced. Amtasol na lukimu next time.